All right, if you have a Bible, we'd like for you to turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5. And for you that are visiting with us, we're in a series we've called Living Beyond Our Capacity. And it is dealing with the Holy Spirit of God as He deals with us, as He works with us. Remember, He is our comforter. He is the paraclete. He is the one that comes along beside to help us live the Christian life. You cannot live the Christian life on your own. You don't have the strength. You don't have the ability. You are a sinner, and our nature is to sin. Only the Holy Spirit of God in you and directing you and pointing you in the right direction. Can you have the victorious Christian life? We can live beyond our capacity. My flesh, if I let it, will want to sin all the time, because that's what we're prone to do. Man is prone to sin. He's prone to follow the appetite of sin. And we've got to understand that through the Holy Spirit of God, we can live beyond our capacity. The area that we've been looking at for the last week or so in this subject is dealing with the leading of the Spirit of God. And we're looking at Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. Let's stand together as we read Ephesians chapter 5 and look at with me at verse number 8. Ephesians 5, verse number 8. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, here's what he said. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Verse 18 will be our text verse. Father, I pray that you'd guide us through this now. We sure need your help. I pray if there's anyone here without Christ, that today they might realize they are a sinner and they are in need of a Savior, and Jesus Christ is the Savior provided by God in heaven. I pray that Christians might evaluate their relationship with you today, and we might examine how we're walking with you. Bless now this effort of preaching. It's in Christ's name we pray and we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. I sometimes like to start off with just something that's a little humorous. So allow me that, if you would. There were three young boys who were having some mischief going on, some fun at the zoo. They were doing it by the elephant pen where the elephants stayed. And they made enough commotion that the onlookers that were there by the elephant pen contacted the zoo security because they were concerned of the commotion that was going on. the security officer arrived, and he went up to each boy that was involved in this, and he started asking them questions. He asked the first boy, he said, "What is your name?" And the young man replied, "My name is Larry." "Well, Larry, somebody's reported there's a commotion over here." And he says, "Well, all I was doing was throwing peanuts to the elephant." And the security guard said, "Well, that seems reasonable enough." And the officer turned to the next boy, and he says, "Well, my name is Jared, and all I was doing was throwing peanuts to the elephants." And then he went to the third boy, and obviously the boy was flustered and a little bit upset, and he was stuttering in his words like I am today. And the officer asked his name, and he said, "My name is Peter. He says, "But my friends call me Peanut." So they were trying to throw Peter into the elephant. Okay. It'll catch when you get home, maybe. All right. Last time we met, we talked about Jesus in Luke chapter 4. We talked about him being under the control of the Spirit of God. The Bible says he's full of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that he was led by the Spirit of God in Luke chapter 4. The Bible says the Spirit had power in him. And we've got to understand that Jesus, as he was tempted there in Luke chapter 4, as that temptation was coming, he was full of the Holy Ghost. Now, one thing that's beyond our thinking is how or why Jesus would submit himself to the things he submitted himself. I know one thing, that Jesus is God. I know this. There are those that write and say he is tempted in all points like we were, and he was even involved in sin. Folks, that's not true. Jesus Christ never sinned. He could not sin. It's totally impossible for him to sin. And as I looked and studied Luke chapter 4, I was amazed at what the Holy Spirit did when Jesus was confronted with the temptations of Satan. What did the Holy Spirit lead Jesus to do? We found out that the Holy Spirit led him to the Word. And continually throughout the temptations, the three temptations that Satan used on Jesus, each time he led him to the Word. And what did Jesus do? He quoted the Word of God. The Holy Spirit led him to the Word. And folks, realize this, that's what the Holy Spirit will do with us when we're close to temptation, when we're looking at temptation. The Holy Spirit will normally direct us to the Word of God. He might say this with a still small voice, "Remember this verse. Remember this." And we'll do one or two things. We'll either listen to the Spirit or we'll turn him on. And we'll say, "Well, I want to do this my way." And folks, that's why we end up in a bad way. We've got to understand that, we are not equipped to tackle much when it comes to spiritual things on our own. We don't have much strength. The paraclete comes along beside us and helps us. He's the comforter. He's the one that is our strength. And we've got to realize that. We've got to understand that he is the one. Now, we were talking about the filling of the Spirit of God, what that exactly curtailed and what that was about. The filling of the Spirit of God outside of this church and churches like it is many different things. Last time we talked about, some say the filling of the Spirit of God is the gift of tongues. That's the sign that you're full of the Spirit of God and that you're saved. Folks, that's not what the Bible says. The sign that you're saved is the new life. And we've got to understand that. And being full of the Holy Spirit of God doesn't necessarily mean you're going to speak in tongues. Last week we preached that tongues was basically the preaching of the Word of God so people could be saved. Before I was saved, went to a service that practiced tongues. And I went with another couple, and we were sitting back about halfway. And all of a sudden, the preacher was really preaching, really getting into it, and all of a sudden this lady stood up about a second pew here, and all of a sudden she started this gibberish-jabbery stuff. And I leaned over to the person and said, "What's going on?" And they said, "She's getting it." A little bit later, I leaned over and I said, "What's she getting?" She's getting the Spirit. And I watched this, and I didn't hear a word the preacher was saying. I was watching this woman as she was and just going crazy. And all of a sudden, she took herself and threw herself in the air and fell down on the floor right there in the aisle, Paul, right next to you, right there. And all of a sudden, she started rolling around. I said, "What's she getting now?" "Oh, she's getting full of the Holy Ghost." And she was rolling around. The problem was, Dina, the problem was she had a dress on. You know what happens to a dress when you're on carpet and you're a woman? It sort of works its way up toward your head. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at the most indecent thing in the world, in church, right here in the aisle, and all the kids are sitting there laughing, and I'm sitting there saying, and I was lost. I said, if this is the things of God here, I don't want to have anything to do with it. And I got up and walked out. I said, "This is awful." In some churches, they say that's what you get when you get full of the Holy Ghost. In some places, they say, well, when you get full of the Holy Ghost, you have what they call the second blessing. You get another dumping of the Spirit of God on you. And they quote the Corinthian church. Well, they got the Holy Ghost, and they were full of it. And they'd speak in tongues. They were also the most carnal church in the Bible. And we've got to understand that, folks, the gift of being full of the Spirit of God, understand that after salvation, when you get saved, you get all of the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. And that's it. And at the salvation experience, He comes in and indwells us, and the Paraclete becomes part of my life. And He's living in me. And understand this, and we've got to realize this, that one thing, I don't see is I don't see in the Word some after effect where people get this dumping on of the Spirit of God. I don't see that, and I don't think that's Bible. The thing that determines for me the filling of the Holy Spirit of God is what I do with the Word of God, and how I witness for Jesus Christ, and folks, how I proclaim the Word of God. Seems like every time there's a filling of the Spirit of God, it's led toward the Word of God. We looked at John the Baptist's parents. Both of them spoke out the Word of God when they were full of the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist, what did he do? Being full of the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb, he leaped for joy. And what did he do when he got out of the womb? He started proclaiming the Word of God. And understand, in Ephesians 5:18, that particular verse has one word that explains that whole verse. You know what the word is? Control. Control. Be filled with the Spirit. That's what it says. Be filled with the Spirit. So we've got to ask ourselves two questions. Does this seem like something we need to seek? Or does it sound like a command to be obeyed? I think it's a command to be obeyed. That I need to be full of the Holy Spirit. And let's ask ourselves about the verse. Look at the verse again. And notice the first part of the verse. What's it say? It says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess." What is that saying? Well, let's ask ourselves. That would be saying, you know, pray for me that I can seek not being a drunkard. No. If you're a Christian, you shouldn't drink. Did you hear what I said? If you're a Christian, you just don't drink. That's what we do. That's how we apply the first part of the verse. We just don't give in to drink. And understand this. It's not to be prayed about. You go, what do you mean it's not to be prayed about? I don't have to pray about being a drunkard, Brother Giles. I just don't drink. I just don't do it. And understand this. If you just don't drink, then you're not going to get drunk. Is that right? You go, Brother Ron, that's too practical. Well, we're commanded to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And folks, I don't think it's something you seek. I think it's something you give into. Now, let me say it this way. I don't pray about not lying. You know what I do? I just don't lie. Why? Because we're commanded not to lie. Is that right? And you go, well, I don't quite understand. All right, let's take it down further. See the word in verse 18. See the word filled. Let's break the word down in the Greek. The word is P-L-E-R-O-O. That's the word. And here's the word, the breakdown of the word in the Greek. First of all, number one, it is an imperative. You go, what is an imperative, Brother Ron? Now, come on now, I'm giving you a good lesson here. What is an imperative? Well, Luke, my grandson, used to live at our house. I would walk into Luke's bedroom and kicking stuff, trying to get into his bedroom. You go, why would you do that? Because he was a teenager. And I'd walk in that room and I'd say, Luke, clean this room. Is that hard to understand? Huh? Luke didn't stand up and say, I'll think about it. No, it was imperative because his life depended on him cleaning his room. You get the point? Huh? Do you get it? I mean, that's what the word filled me. It's imperative. But the second part of this understanding the word is that it's a plural. You go, what does that mean? It means it's all conclusive. It's for everybody. Everybody in this room, everybody that's saved, ought to be filled with the Spirit of God. Everybody. You go, oh, that's for preachers. No, that's for Christians. Every one of us ought to be filled with the Spirit of God. But it's not only imperative, it's not only a plural, but folks, it's in the present tense. And you go, what does that mean? It's something that you have to do continuously. You go, Brother Ben might say, well, I was filled with the Spirit of God last week. Well, Brother Ben, you got to give into it again this week. It's something you're continually applying. It's continually something, you know, that you apply to your life. But the fourth thing is it's in the passive voice. And it is to be acted on. And it's something that you allow God to do in your life. Folks, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit indwelt you. And He indwells every believer. And He's the one that can come along beside you and help you live the Christian life. Stop and think about it just for a minute. How much control do you think God wants in your life? 20%? 60%? 80%? I think God wants 100% of your life. You're saved. You're born again now. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your members. That's what the Word of God says. We ought to be bringing glory to the Lord. Now, realize this. He wants all of you. The Holy Spirit doesn't say, well, I want to control your singing ability and you can control your moral ability. He doesn't say that. He wants to control it all. You understand? The Holy Spirit of God wants to control all of you, not just a little part of you. So many people are looking for something that zaps them or that's mystical and that type of thing. And if it doesn't happen, they say, well, God's the problem. Folks, God's never the problem. The problem is us. That's the problem. It's never God. Look with me over to a verse in Galatians 5. Keep your finger in Ephesians 5. Look at Galatians 5. And notice something right here. That again, Paul writing to the Galatian believers. Notice what he says. In Galatians 5, look at verse number 16. He's talking about being controlled of the Spirit of God. Notice what he says in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Okay? What does that do for me? And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You won't be fulfilling the lust of the flesh if you walk in the Spirit. Okay, verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 18 of our text verse, what did it say back there in that particular verse? Well, it's very plain. Verse 18 says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Folks, this understand this. This is not a comparison. It's not a comparison. It's a contrast. And you go, well, I don't understand what that means. Well, alcohol is not a stimulant. It's a depressant. And we need to understand this. Let me explain it this way. A man at his very best will be affected by alcohol. Is that right? Come on now. Is that right? He will be. Understand it this way. In other words, it affects his very best. Alcohol, you know, will take control of a person. What are we commanded to do? We're commanded to be filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit. And what does it do? It brings out the best of a man. And here's the contrast. Alcohol brings out the worst of a man, and the Holy Spirit brings out the best of a man. That's why it's a... understand, this is not a comparison. You know, it's a contrast. And they're two opposites. And a lot of people look at this and go, well, you know, the Lord here is talking about alcohol. Yeah, He's talking about how bad it is, that it controls a man to do bad. The Holy Spirit of God controls a man to do good. Now you say, well, how do we sum this up, Brother Ron? Well, if you're filled with the flesh, as it said back there in Galatians 5, if you're filled with the flesh, guess what? The product will be flesh coming out of the Christian. Fleshly things will come out of his life. He'll be more ate up with flesh. He'll be leaning towards the world and having an appetite of the world. But the opposite is true also. If the Holy Spirit is leading you and you live a Holy Spirit-filled life, the product coming out of your life will be the Spirit of God. That's what will be coming out of your life. Now let me sum it up this way. It's very simple. Every day we get up, we make choices. Every day you get up and you're going to choose how good of a Christian you want to be. Every decision you face, we make a choice. Life's full of choices. What are we going to choose? I had a young man in high school. His name, many of you have heard me mention him before. His name was Kirby Skaggs. He's the only boy I know that carried his Bible to school. I was not a Christian, but I was a friend of Kirby Skaggs. And I remember Kirby was all the time witnessing. And he'd all the time say, "Hey, Ron, we're having a revival. I want you to come to our revival." "Kirby, I don't want to go to your revival." I'd open my locker, and guess what would be in my locker? A flyer to the revival. A tract. His locker was three lockers down from my locker. And you know what he did? One time he's sitting there reading his Bible, and I walk up to my locker, and he's reading his Bible, and I didn't want anybody to see me talking to him. And so he's reading his Bible, and he says, "Hey, Ron, let's have lunch together today." I said, "Kirby, thanks anyway." "Well, you got the lunch break same time I got." I said, "Yeah, but I'm going to be dealing with a couple of my friends, and we're going to be together and everything." And I tried to avoid him as much as I could and try to be polite to him. And Kirby just persistently talked to me about Jesus. Well, when you're trying to be in high school and you're trying to be cool, now come on, Gilbert. You say, "Now, preacher, you've never been cool in your life." But you know, when you're at that age, huh? You know. Come on now, you know what I mean. And here comes Kirby again talking to me about the Lord. Finally, I said, "All right, Kirby, I'm gonna go to your revival." And I went. I showed up. Went to revival. I enjoyed it. People were nice, friendly. And the preacher came up to me and says, "I heard you need to be saved." I said, "Has Kirby been talking to you?" He says, "Yeah." I said, "Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, but that's just my business." All right. And I said, "Kirby, what are you doing going around talking to people about me? I don't like that. I take care of me. You don't take care of me. Kirby, don't do that." Okay. A party came up with a bunch of my friends. There was going to be a lot of friends there, and we were going to be doing things we shouldn't be doing. Kirby was invited. He showed up. We were at the party. You know what Kirby did? He walked in, saw what was happening, turned around, walked out. He made a choice. He was trying to witness to me, trying to win me to Christ. But he would not get into that arena and bring down his testimony that he loved the Lord. That stuck in my mind when I saw him turn around and walk out. I said, "Oh, man." It made me think all night long. I couldn't rest that evening because of Kirby thinking about him. He's one of the things that God used in my life so that I would get saved. That young man's testimony and that decision affected my life. He'll never know it. And for you that don't know the whole story, I've talked to Kirby here recently. And, you know, thanking him for being a testimony to me and witnessing to me and trying to get me to come to the Lord. But he made a decision. Folks, life is full of decisions. Christian, every day you make a decision, who's going to be first in my life? Is it going to be Jesus or is it going to be my flesh? You make a decision every single day. And if you've not made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior yet, oh my soul, you need to make that decision today. Let's all stand to our feet. Father, we pray this morning that you might speak to our hearts. Thank you that we can see this contrast of what you want to do in our lives. You want control. You want to be our God. And you want to be the Lord of our lives. And I pray that as the Holy Spirit